Today we stand on the threshold of the most mysterious and powerful week of the entire year. The question now for us is, how do we personally enter into the full meaning and the experience of the passion that for each of us must inevitably precede the resurrection in our own individual lives and our communal lives. During the last few moments, we have all together listened to and participated in the account, according to Mark, of the very last days of Jesus in Jerusalem. And by your participation, you even acted out some of the parts. At one time, some of you were variously the disciples of Christ, or as accusing kinsmen, the people who mocked him as he hung dying on the cross. In other words, by participating in the reading of the Passion, you became active participants in the drama of real power. We ask, what will happen when you leave church today and return to the everyday work of the week? How then will you participate in the Passion of Jesus Christ? How then will you enter into his suffering? Or to put the question in a way that would focus the issue, where will you see the suffering of God? Where will you see the suffering of God? That is part of the mystery. We suffer in God, and God suffers in us. God continues to suffer in us. We now, in the 20th century, are the body of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's true that for many people today, the Passion of Jesus Christ is still and primarily an historical event, something that happened 2,000 years ago, and that's where it stays. It was some kind of thing, a cosmic event, whereby we are the fortunate latter-day benefactors. But now in Holy Week we ask, personally, how can we say that we have been touched for the rest of the year by the singular experience of Holy Week? If we go on now holding at arm's length what happened 2,000 years ago, despite so much American optimism today, the thinkers of our time and the observers acknowledge that we are at the very threshold of a very dark period in humankind, and that possibly today more than ever before, we need a strong faith based upon hope in what is to come. It's true that today we do experience in a very real way already in our personal lives the passion in the personal crosses that each of us has, in the discouragement, in the grief, the sense of loss, the many thwarted hopes that intrude into the playing out of our own lives. And perhaps some of us have even experienced something of the desolation of God in the death of a loved one in our family. The desolation of God. Or in the shattering of a career, the uncertainty of our own unemployment, broken dreams in our lives through divorce or separation. Perhaps we have personally entered into the life of Jesus Christ and his passion through those personal passageways. They are entries into his presence in our life in a very deep way. He waits with us in our suffering. The Lord is always close to the brokenhearted. But have we learned all year long, not just in Holy Week, to look for him there when our lives are broken? In our personal lives today, we continue the passion of Jesus Christ. We make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, according to the words of St. Paul. But there is yet another way, another place, that we look to see and to experience the passion of God. It's more difficult than to see it as an historical event, and even more difficult perhaps than acknowledging our own personal experiential view of the passion of Christ in our lives. It means going out of ourselves and seeing the passion in other people, in the fashion that Jesus himself enjoined us so often to do, to witness the passion today and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in the world around us now. Today, possibly more than ever, our world is fraught with suffering because there are more people than ever before. All we need do visually is see it on the 6 o'clock news in the faces of people haunted with famine, or to flip through the pages of Newsweek and Time and witness the human agony in the war-torn countries of Central America, the Middle East, the Far East. We ask, whose agony do we see? That is the body of Jesus Christ, broken, suffering. When in our own neighborhood we pass by convalescent homes or hospitals or simply older people's homes and see there on the porch of the convalescent home the decrepit persons strapped in rocking chairs, from whose faces do we turn away? Or why is it that we fear the violence of the poor people and the disenfranchised today? Why is it that today we mistrust the refugees who are giving sanctuary because they happen to be an economic threat? Why do we fear them and mistrust them? Whose face do we see in their face? It is not naive idealism that asks us to make some kind of beginning to transform the world through this vision. It is the very simple vision of Holy Week, a resurrection that comes only out of that kind of suffering. Only out of that comes a new hope and a new life that is born out of that kind of misery today and that kind of death. Today, where do we find the lonely and the wounded Christ? He is there in salvation history. He is here in our own personal experience. But above all, He is here in the human world around us. Do we dare to look and see that mystery? As a Christian people, do we dare to do anything else today?